If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light of the One Divine Beloved. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. So this evening, our seminar topic is Identifying the Filters that Block Seeing Divine Perfection in All Things. Identifying the filters that block seeing the divine perfection in all things. So if you're ready, take a deep breath. And allow yourself to come into full integration and alignment with your divine self. Give yourself permission to stand in the wholeness and the holiness and the perfection that is your true and natural state. Find that place of peace that always is present behind the backdrop of all seeming upset. It's a place that's always a calm center, completely unaffected and untouched by anything in the outer world. This is your safe place. Your harbor of refuge. It's as close as your next breath, so why don't you take another deep breath? And just release. And just allow yourself to be here and now. Quietly present. Without anything else to do, or think about, or consider. This is your natural state. It's a happy place. Not because of anything, but simply, it's your natural state. Your authentic self is always at peace. It's a state of ongoing acceptance of that which is. That which is whatever is going on here and now. Because that part of yourself stays here, which is the only place you ever are, and now, which is the only time there ever is. Or ever will be. So whenever you find yourself stepping out of here and now, you'll find that some element of peacelessness comes in. And that absence, seemingly, of the experience of peace is simply to let you know you're not here and now. You've stepped out of the present. You're hanging on to the past or a memory, which then remembers it into the present, and projecting that onto the future, which is a blank slate. So just be aware when that peace is not your direct, immediate, present experience. Just notice it Don't judge it. Don't do anything about it. Because in the noticing, you are casting the awareness of your divine self upon that situation, which automatically dissolves and clears it. Know that who looks through your eyes is none other than God. God is listening right now. God is looking through your eyes. God is the intelligence that is reflecting the truth as it listens. It is giving assent and confirmation to you by feelings of well-being. This is your guiding mechanism through life, feelings of well-being. I could put being with a capital B. When you are being the authentic self, there's no issue. There's no againstness. There's no entrapment in duality and polarized positions. There is no preference even. There is just the state of being perfectly present and perfectly at peace. That may seem far-fetched to some people, but I do believe it's the deepest desire of everyone when you take away all of the fear and boil it down to what exactly it is. Everyone says they would like to have happiness and peace of mind. So, what stands between you and perfect peace of mind, and that state of quiet inner joy? Is there anything that comes up for you as we ask that question? Is there anything at all that is worrying you or upsetting you or causing any kind of a issue of disturbance? Why don't you take a deep breath into that and let it go into the love of Divine Source. Just let it go, because that state is unreal. And as we learn to release illusion into truth, we find that it automatically dissipates and dissolves. I think we enter into the difficulty when we try to do something with illusion other than to simply recognize it for what it is, an illusion. I believe if you look carefully, when you are in a state of guilt or remorse or agitation, or the mind is not at peace for whatever reason, I think if you observe without commentary, without judgment, just observe, you'll find that you're holding on to a situation thinking that you have to do something with it, that you have to fix it or rectify it or do something with whatever it is that's upsetting you. And if you want to understand it, why is it happening? This shouldn't be. Why me? God made a mistake. God's overlooked me. You ever feel like that? Well, I think we all do from time to time. You know, none of us are the Lone Ranger. We all have the same challenges and emotional and mental makeup. There's just minor variations on the human theme of consciousness. But we're not here just to be human. We are here to awaken to the divine. That is simply appearing very temporarily in this dimensional octave as a human. What we truly are is God. We are divine incarnations, every single one of us, no exception. And we're having a field trip of human experimentation where we enter into every possible scenario, circumstance, experience, to test ourselves to see if we can stay conscious, aware, and present, and not lose sight of who we truly are. Well, of course we do. Part of the process of entering into the human state is to forget that you are divine, to lose sight of that temporarily and awareness of that consciously. So it's calling yourself forward into that awareness in the heat of experience that enables you to come awake. You have to be in the experience to come awake within it. That's why every single challenge that we're faced with is a blessing in disguise, for it is a very evocation of your awakened state. That is the evocateur, if you will, that calls forward your truth, your essence. And the value of human experience is that we get to experience full bore the whole enchilada, the whole continuum, the whole spectrum of every possible gradient of consciousness is accessible to and through the human instrument, which makes it unique and unlike any other species. Is that we have multidimensional potentialities, unlimited possibilities to exercise, explore, and dance within the place of consciousness and energy. Not to judge it, not to be a Johnny One Note, not to do it, quote, quote, right. To experience all things. And to awaken within the experience and know that you are the one, pretending, playing, delighting, and appearing as the many. It's a dance, it's a play. And that's why all truly awakened individuals show that peace and that joy. They smile like the serene statues of the Buddha. He's called the Enlightened One. He awakened beyond duality, polarized points of view, and states of consciousness. He exited the realm of right and wrong, and good and evil, and all of that, all of the polarizations that keep us stuck and limited in the third dimension. He had transcended. That's why he's called the Enlightened One. Someone asked him one day, "Are you God?" And he said, "No." "Are you a saint?" "No." "Who are you then?" "I am awake." And so that's all that soul is here to do, is to become awake. To wake up from the areas where we've gone unconscious of our ongoing, immortal, ever-present, divine perfection. And life is not stacked against any one of us. We have not come in with a loaded set of dice that deal us the wrong hand every time we toss them. Everything in our life is exactly as we would have it set forth for the lesson that we have purposely come into incarnation to reveal to ourselves. We teach ourselves, we reveal to ourselves, we enlighten ourselves, we awaken ourselves, we answer only to ourselves. Because in highest truth, there is only the self, capital S. There There is only yourself, whatever you see, within, around you, and all about. In the supposed, quote-unquote, world, you see only your own state of consciousness, albeit through filters. And so the filters are what we're going to be looking at this evening. So is there a way to really, truly experience ongoing happiness and peace of mind? And I'm happy to tell you, yes, there really is, if you are willing to do one thing. What is that? Cease pretending that you know better than divine spirit what is going on. That's right. Cease pretending that you know better than divine spirit what is going on in your life and in the lives of your family and friends and in the world and in the scenarios that are unfolding right now today in the news. Cease pretending that you know better than God what is really going on. You know, only the arrogance of egocentricity would ever claim such omniscience. I think you'll find those who are divinely awakened and self-realized are silent when it comes to claim-making. They don't need to make claims any more than the sun needs to announce when it arises in the sky each day. It's self-evident. And those self-realized individuals will not be found passing judgment on anything that's taking place. Why is that? The genuinely realized have accepted the fact that God alone is all that is, and everything is unfolding in divine order and perfection. Yes, everything, no exceptions. And, of course, the ego mind completely dissolves in the light of such realization. So there's nothing left to doubt or dispute or have an issue with anything. Well, I think it could be said that everyone, except for those few who are truly God-realized, are looking at life through ego filters. And these ego filters cloud and distort perception so that you can't really see anything as it truly is. You see through the bias, your mental bias, your prejudicial assessment, let's say, of the way you think or believe things are. So you don't see anything as it truly is. The Course of Miracles says, I see nothing as it truly is. I see only the past. And if you consider that in your most intimate relationships, or even your most casual relationships, we tend to project on that person our past experiences of who we think they are. And we expect them to act out the way they have in the past. But nothing in all of creation is the same from any nanosecond to the next. Why is that? Because we live in a quantum field of energy and consciousness that is constantly adjusting itself to the way we look at things. In other words, our way of seeing and looking and perceiving and projecting is what causes those atoms to take within the quantum potential a specific form and become that to us in our experience. It becomes that to us because of the way we look toward it. So at all times, our consciousness is what is molding our experience, which is never the same. So when we project onto a person the past, we cause it then to prevent us from seeing through the eyes of spirit, which is always here and always now. There is no past in spirit. There is no future in spirit. There is only here and now. And that here and now is absolute, consummate perfection. It doesn't need fixing, doesn't need correcting, it doesn't need anything at all. When you're centered in that, you have no needs, no desires, no lacking, no want. You're simply at peace and happy for no reason. If you have a reason, you also have a season. A season would be a cycle, followed by another cycle. And in the realms of duality, that would be you move from good times to bad times and bad times to good times, and pleasure is simply an interlude between two cycles of suffering. See what I'm saying? So when you're in divine consciousness, you don't have that fluctuation. It doesn't mean that your life is outwardly, to the outer gaze, to the outer judgment of the world, it doesn't mean that you're fantastically wealthy, incredibly healthy, incredibly abundant in terms of your material possessions. You might be a beggar in Bangladesh and be totally God-realized and happy as you could be, sitting on a little dirty rag in the middle of the marketplace. Any of the saints had absolutely nothing in terms of their material possessions. And some of them were fabulously wealthy, like Akbar, for example, and the master Maurya, who was a Rajput prince. So you don't have to be impoverished, but you don't care whether you have or you have not, because you live in the wholeness and fullness and abundance of the authentic self, the divine being that you truly are, which is everywhere present, has all power, and like Sai Baba said, I own all of the houses on the planet. All of the families are my families. All of the cars are my vehicles. All of the wealth in the world is my abundance. I own everything. And that's how you feel when you move into that divine self that is your authentic self. You don't have that sense of lack. You completely exit the realm of victim and victimizer. So many of us look at God as the great tyrant in the sky, looking down to cast thunderbolts of judgment and damnation on everybody. No, that's an old model that some egocentric priests and Romans and whoever concocted that belief system came up with long, long time ago as a manipulative device to control the masses. So you can't take that as the word of God, because God would not ever put his word in a written form that man could mess with and corrupt. You are the living word of God. You are that which was spoken at the very beginning when God said, let there be light. You are, as soul, the very light that was spoken into existence, which is also called the Christ, or the only begotten. That is you. That is your authentic self. And that is the messianic energy that is moving across the darkness of the deep, of the subconscious realms of this planet, birthing it into a revelation of a new state, a new statement, a new presentation, which we call the shift of the ages, or the new paradigm. And it's entirely above polarized consciousness and the againstness that is always the cult of ego. The ego thrives by creating againstness. That's how it gets its fuel, is exacerbating conflict, pointing out difference, and diverging from and keeping the mind diverged away and distracted away from the truth of essential oneness. So once you're on to that, you can catch yourself and reorient yourself in terms of the truth. You just quietly, without a lot of drama, you just go, oh, okay, I'm looking at the wrong thing here. Or not even the wrong thing. Just notice when you're not in peace. Notice when you're not feeling completely joyous. And move back into the position of that which is a very neutral state. It's neither for nor against. It simply is present as the living love. You might think, well, how's anything going to get done there? Very well, very nicely. There's not always going to be a great plethora of enlightened souls on the planet at any given time. But I've been called to speak to those of you that would like to move into that state more consciously. That's what I'm being inspired and given to address each week. So I believe that those of you who listen really want that, that you are really ready to be those few that are awakening to the absolute perfection that you are, and that this world is, and everyone that you cast your gaze upon is that living word, that bread of heaven, the Holy One, the Christ, the Beloved. There is no other. Anywhere that you can look, that is not the holiness of the Beloved. If we could just stay with that, and to know that your holiness blesses this world, your holiness is the salvation of this world, your holiness is the light in which you walk, that illumines the very place where you find yourself, that is the very saving grace that moves across the face of the planet, that is the light in your home, in your workplace. If we could just host that. Hope the other and host but that. We would find that we could enjoy life like we never could have imagined before. Because that little agitation that keeps you from total peace also keeps you from seeing the real world beyond the apparent conflict of the outer, which is really the drama of many different levels of consciousness experiencing all the different levels of consciousness. Again, the education and the enlightening process that soul is undertaking. But let's bring it back to the self that you are. Because when you enlighten yourself within the holographic aspect that we, where the whole is reflected in all of its parts, you have brought enlightenment to everyone. Now, in the dance of the dream of time, space, and becoming, these different aspects of the self that are seemingly out there, like flowers, have their own time to open, unfold their petals, bloom, and give forth their gift of fragrance. But this is for you now. This is your time. You're hearing this because this is for you. Otherwise, you would not be listening. So this is the voice calling you forward into your own acceptance of your divine perfection. Now, your holiness. Now, your fulfillment. Now, your perfect peace. Now. And you're truly joyous, liberated spirit. So filters when they come up for us are what cause us to see only the outer differences rather than our essential sameness. Again, filters are mental biases, beliefs, opinions, indoctrinations, prejudices that we've been conditioned to accept as the way things are. We all have them. Part of our, I believe, dharma in our awakening process is to allow us to see very carefully these things. Because again, in the seeing is the liberation. As the divine looks through your eyes and recognizes and becomes aware of these areas, they are dissolved. And no one is set free alone. No one is liberated alone. No one ascends alone. No one transcends into eternal glory alone within this holographic quantum field. All gifts are shared. All gifts are shared. And so, that's your contribution as an individualized extension of the perfection of God. Your awakening, your clarity of vision, your clear seeing, your divine seeing, your Devadrishti is your gift into the collective. And so you take each situation as it arises in your life. Excuse me. I guess some clearing is happening on some of our throat chakras and some of our upper portion of the heart. Take a deep breath. Let that high anxiety that may be coming up for some of you, let it dissolve into the love of the beloved. Just let it go. Grace makes you whole because grace already sees you whole. So just allow anything that's coming up for you right now to be lifted and dissolve your grace. You don't have to do anything with it. You just notice what's there. Either it's the truth of God, which is perfect peace, perfect wholeness, perfection in every way, or it's something that's appearing that's false, that gives rise to discomfort to let you know it's false. So when you're looking through egocentric projection, the ego always projects outside onto another. The ego projection perceives only other egos. It sees the outer shell, doesn't see beyond that. And so it only pays attention to those outer appearances, what other egos are doing and saying and believing and so forth. But soul-centric vision sees everything as lessons to be learned and transcended through loving acceptance. So how would your life be if you accepted everything that's going on right now as something that's extremely valuable and useful? And that you will regard one day as a complete blessing. There won't be a single thing you've ever said, thought, done, or experienced. When you get high enough in your understanding and overview, that you won't be grateful for. That you won't say, so grateful. I had to go through that experience. It seemed horrendous at the time. And it made me cry and and feel tremendous upset. But I wouldn't have changed a thing if I could have gone back and relived it. You're going to feel that way about everything in your life, your worst moments. You're going to bless God for. You're going to thank God. You're going to thank yourself. You're going to thank all of creation that particular thing played out exactly as it did. Because there are no mistakes. There are no accidents. There's nothing that is out of place. This is what transforms and so radically changes the way we look at life when we can finally just accept that. Just realize that is true. So the ego filters are the ones that cause the attention to be drawn to duality and to play into and get trapped within the polarities of good and bad, right and wrong, greater and lesser, because there's always a polarized position to be upheld and defended at all costs when you're in that egocentric state of mind. So the ego would rather be right than happy and prefers conflict over peace because peace is what dissolves it and conflict is what feeds it. So do you really want to be happy enough to give up your position of being right and a know-it-all? You know, we ask ourselves that question. Well, how can anyone be so sure that they are right about anything when none of us can really see what is truly going on, really, behind the backdrop of the outer appearances, what is really going on? And you realize that you can't even fully see your own soul's curriculum. So how could you possibly judge what another soul has chosen to experience? We just can't. We have to learn to relinquish any attention to passing commentary, judgment, assessment, whatever, on what another soul is going through. Because you just don't know. And yet very few even question why they are so attached and stuck in their positions and polarizing opinions. And I think most never think twice about passing judgments upon everyone and everything that crosses their mind. Because the ego mind is always doing that. That's its nature. That's why we call it the ego mind. But there's also a divine mind that is a clearer level of the consciousness that we could call soul awareness or just simply awareness, higher awareness, that doesn't do that. And you can shift that frequency up into that higher consciousness at will. So love holds no grievances, no judgments. For to judge is to actually darken your own vision and imprison yourself. Yet when we are presently undergoing such a rapid ascension in consciousness that we now have to make a really quick reorientation because we're moving from the third through the fourth and into the fifth dimension of the unified heart field where we live in loving kinship with all life and with each other. It's such a shift of consciousness that people are really feeling everything coming up in their face now that still needs to be seen clearly in the light of higher awareness. And that's what's taking place. That's why there's so much coming up for people now. These are the things that need to be quickly seen through and turned over and released. to the divine. I also think that the karmic backlash of judging what is going on is very rapid now. You know, we'll find ourselves locked into the very state that we've judged almost immediately in many cases. But you know what? This is a sign of grace in that we have the opportunity to forgive and relinquish that judgment right now, rather than having to return at another time in another life to face the same situations all over again. So consider it grace when your stuff is in your face. So we're all in this process of developing unconditional loving acceptance of the divine perfection in ourselves, in what's going on in our life, in our health, in our finances, in our relationships, in our parenting, in our workplace. Whatever's going on is exactly what needs to go on for you to evoke your divinity and come more fully present with your holiness and your wholeness. So each soul has its own lesson plan and learning curriculum, and its series of lessons followed by tests to see how well those lessons have been learned. So when you find yourself keep repeating the same pattern over and over again and don't seem to be learning, then you as soul will orchestrate more intense cycles of testing. So if you feel like, you know, like one thing after another, after another, after another, begin to look for the common cord. What is the lesson of these repetitive patterns, again and again and again? What is it? You know, so many people are homeless. What is the lesson here? The lesson is to be at home in your heart, so that you're at home wherever you find yourself. You can't be at home anywhere else but in your soul, in your heart, in your divinity. How can you be at home in a house, in a structure, in a building? You can't. So the lesson is to find that place of homeness within you, and then you're at home everywhere. Another thing that worries a lot of people is their finances. When did little strips of paper and little pieces of metal ever sustain you, really, in highest truth? Who invented the silly things? Man did. Man created those funny little paper strips and those little discs of metal and accorded them value and held each other hostage in a system of commerce. Well, these are all things that we have elected to create out of the ego, not out of our divinity. God created an abundance of all things and told us to enjoy life, to multiply, to be replenish the earth, and be fruitful and happy. And enjoy the bounty and beauty of this gorgeous planet. But we've held each other hostage to these little strips of paper, these little metal discs, little square pieces of plastic, and those little figures that dance around in people's computers and cyberspace, but actually don't have any value to back them. You are sustained by the love of God and nothing else. Love fulfills itself. Love sustains itself. Love keeps replenishing and refilling. And the giving heart is never left empty. The giving hand is never left empty. Those who give always find that that giving returns to them in countless ways. We're here to give. We're here to be used. We're here to flow and dance. And allow everything in life to move freely around us. When you clutch money, you will lose it, because nothing likes to be confined and constrained. Money, like blood, needs to circulate freely and be used fearlessly and be invested and seeded into things that are good and uphold the common good of all people. So again, it's an attitude, it's a lesson that many, many souls are undergoing now about what is true abundance. You know, you can feel like the king of the earth, like Shirdi Sai Baba, one of the great saints of northern India. He looked like a beggar on the outside. He slept on a board hung by two ropes from the ceiling. And he had one little bowl that he used to eat out of. I think those were his sole possessions. And his little kafni, his robe that he wore. That was it. That was all he had. And yet, he was referred to as the king of the universe. So don't judge by outer appearances, because they're never true. They never truly represent what's really going on. You just can't ever assume that you know what's going on when you look only with the outer eyes of the ego mind. So as you recognize the repetitive patterns, you can begin to awaken from their effects and transcend the need to unconsciously react. As you come conscious in these experiences, you transcend that unconscious reactive pattern, which is the old conditioning that keeps reoccurring. As you awaken, you begin to choose your response consciously, and you bypass the former drama. And you'll discover that there's no longer any energy on those old issues. They're just dissipated as you awaken. You don't have to do anything but just notice what's going on and choose to look through the eyes of your heart, through the eyes of your love. So you keep clearing your vision and dissipating more and more of that false self, that ego mind, each time that you consciously choose to respond in loving acceptance, rather than to react from a polarized position. So the ego filters to identify and become aware of always involve making yourself or another person wrong. So seeing others from an adversarial position is to judge them. You point a finger at another and notice how three fingers are pointing right back at you. And realize that what you fault another for, you will increase in your own nature. You know, the more you see the ego in another, the more you will increase your own sense of ego. So this ego polarization is involved whenever we take a position of againstness toward anyone or anything, anywhere, at any time. And if you watch, you will observe how every conflict, every war, every criminal act involves individuals and groups polarize against one another. And, you know, everywhere we look, we can see examples of polarization being played out. And this is what has imprisoned humanity within the third dimension. There's nothing else holding us here but positions of polarity. That's the only thing that defines and holds us locked in the third dimension. So there's no escape from duality through polarization. One only switches from one side to the other in life after life, so that whatever you hated or fought against or judged in one life, you then return to that very thing in that same condition to balance out the action of judgment. That's what keeps people locked in karma reincarnation. So judgment, more than any other thing, will block your spiritual progression and prevent your ascension into the fifth dimension. It will keep you in third density, lower world. As long as you keep that polarity going. So what to do? Well, practice observing without commentary. You know, the Eckhart Tolle has written some wonderful books on how to practice. You know, observing without commentary, without doing anything about anything, just observe it. And catch your mind every time you watch it lapse into ego mode. And when it does that, you'll start that negative commentary. So choose to refocus on maintaining a neutral state, which is the state of the spirit, the divine spirit is always in a state of divine neutrality and acceptance. And just place the light with that person or situation for the highest good of all. Just let it go and place the light with it instead. And when you get caught up in judging and find yourself expressing a negative position against someone, realize that you're judging your own self in that person or situation. So you can release that by forgiving yourself for judging yourself in that situation or person or condition. And again, just forgive yourself and release it. Let it go. Don't try to do anything more with it. See it, release it, move on. So you learn to observe your thoughts much like you do clouds passing before the radiance. And let them just pass by. Don't try to gather that to yourself. Likewise, let the emotion, the energy of emotion and thoughts pass through you without clutching or judging or elaboration or grasping. Let yourself be free to be. And allow everyone the freedom to do and be and express as their soul journey requires. Who are you to dictate how another soul has to go through their life journey? Allow each soul the dignity of going through their own process in their own way. Respect that. Give them space to be. This includes your children. They're not here for you. They're here for their own soul's learning. They didn't come to fulfill your unfulfilled wishes. They didn't come to please you and to pony up to your agenda. They came to live their own life, their own soul's learning, their own soul's curriculum. So allow your children to be. And when they get to the age of 18, hands off. They need their own space, their own life, their own. You know, if you've done a good job as a parent, you have modeled the things that you would have them imprint. You have lived it out in your life as an authentic person who is uncompromisingly real in how they have dealt with their child. The child will respect you if you are true to your own values and your own understanding in wherever you are in your life. That's the best thing you can do for your children. Otherwise, trust the divine in them to unfold in a perfect way in their life, because that's what's happening, regardless of how it may seem on the outer. So, how do you feel? This is the place we always have as our default setting. If there's any uptightness anywhere, if you sense any upset or worry about anything, don't try to stuff it or suppress it or deny it. Sit with it and ask the Divine Spirit to show you where you stepped into judgment or againstness, or where you acted unlovingly to one of God's creations. And when the Holy Spirit reveals that to you, again, forgive yourself for judging yourself in that person, that situation, whatever, and take a deep breath and release it to the divine. Just release it. And let that energy be divinely used to serve the highest good of all. Because whatever is offered to God is immediately purified and rendered absolutely perfect. So that's the best thing you can do. And then you'll notice that that upset just vanishes. It's not there anymore. And what you have is the peace of God and that deep inner core of happiness, knowing truly all is well with your soul, and all is in divine, perfect order. I hope this has been helpful for you. It's a very deep subject, and like all things spiritual, we learn your direct experience and observing that which is going on in our life and finding a way to accept and come into cooperation with it. As we do that, we find our understanding grows, which is an attitude of the heart that accepts the good, the whole, the holy, and the divine as the truth of all things. And that's the main thing to remember as you walk through this soul's journey, this soul's field trip, is to bless and express gratitude for everything that happens. I don't care what it is. You will look back on it one day and be grateful for it. So why not be grateful and celebrate it right now? Even though it may look outwardly like an illness or a tragedy or a loss, realize that you can never lose what is truly yours. You can never lose love. You can never lose your soul. You can never lose yourself. You can never be lost. You are always in God, with God, God all around you. God lives and moves and breathes through you. Your mind is filled with God. Your every quark of your being is infused with the divine. And that divinity is pure, unconditional love that loves you eternally and forever and will never leave you, never forsake you. For that which is within you as the divine is your authentic self, your true self, and be happy. That is the main thing that we're to do. Just enjoy your life, make it work for you, and be happy. And realize when you feel any upset, it doesn't have to be that way. You're looking at something that is an illusion and trying to make a case out of it. So breathe into it, release it to the divine, and step free your grace. And I might add that you might want to observe any place in your life where you're harboring a negative attitude. This could be in the realm of social and cultural bias and prejudice. It could be in the realm of religion, where you feel like your way is better than anyone else's way. It could be in the spiritual realm where you judge people according to where they are in their spiritual awakening process. It could be in the level of politics. It could be in the level of lifestyle preferences and choices. We have so many little filters that position difference between one person and another that can tend to dim our vision and block our loving. So why don't we realize that all of these things that I've just spoken of are social conditioning and indoctrinational conditioning that have nothing to do with who you are as a soul. Really, love is the only true religion. And truth is the highest that we can embrace of. So why don't we just cozy in with love, because probably we can relate to that more than we can even truth. And choose the loving. Whatever the situation is, choose the loving. The loving response, the gentle and kind action. And you'll always be expressing from that higher, authentic self. So let's take a deep breath and go out chanting on I, you. Deep breath. And always remember that your holiness blesses the world, your holiness blesses me, and your holiness is the salvation of us all. Be holy. Be happy. be at peace. For truly, all is well. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is